This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
Mitchell Robinson will be on the ball, right will inbound. It's off to Brown. Bridge is there. They hold it. The drop, and it's over. The Knicks have won. What a comeback and a game one win for New York.
High noon on a Wednesday, Jones and Keefe, WEEI. It means it's time for Pure Hoops with Turp, Justin Turpin, WEEI.com. Check out all his work there on Twitter at Justin M. Turpin. Lots of good Celtics coverage throughout the postseason. Joe Mazzulla, all the players, game breakdowns afterwards with Mego. I saw after game one a loss for the Celtics, 108-105 in overtime, Turp. How are we feeling about the Celtics down 0-1?
I mean, I feel fine. I had them sweeping, so I feel all right after one loss. And I think if this loss came in game two or game three, we'd be talking about it a lot differently. It's the fact that it came in game one that people are kind of alarmed by it.
What about Mazzulla's reaction to the whole thing? Basically like, hey, we missed shots. We need to make shots. What a novel concept. Knicks made shots. We missed them. Like, is that what I mean? It's kind of a classic Mazzulla thing in many ways.
Yeah,
what about the most recent?
I feel like a lot of people, the issue with the 3-point shooting wasn't the volume, it was the quality of the shots. Like, they were taking a lot. I know the NBA tracking data suggested that most of them were open to wide open, but if, I mean, come on, we all watched the game. Those were not non-contested shots. Like, even that Drew Holiday one in the corner, like, that one automatically comes to mind. Jason Tatum forced one late in the fourth quarter. There were some contested shots in there. So I think more of it was to do with, though, like, the quality of them. Like, they took 30 pull-up threes. That's not a good sign.
Right. They were. Yeah, it was not a ton of catch and shoot, you know, by their standards. It was a lot of pull-up three-point attempts, to your point. I personally have a problem with the volume. And if you're making them, if it's game one against New York, meaning of the regular season, the season opener against the Knicks, and you're 29 out of 61, well, go ahead and launch them. Like, it's going in. When it's not going in, and it's not going in really all night, from the first quarter to the halftime to most of the second half, they got a little hot in the third quarter, but largely they're not making their threes all night long. At some point, to me, the volume does become a problem, and that's my only critique of the Celtics. And when Mazzulla's like, oh, well, the Knicks just made them and we just missed them, he just assumes if they keep launching them sooner or later, they're going to go in. On some nights, game one, a prime example of it, that's not the case. I wish they just had a little more awareness of that.
Especially when they had guys in foul trouble for New York. They were getting downhill, getting to the free throw line, especially in the first quarter, too. That's what kept them in the game, was they were getting to the free throw line because they were not making any shots whatsoever.
Hart went out almost right away with two fouls. Brunson and Towns both had three by halftime.
And we talked all week about these mismatches that they have, and they really just didn't utilize him. And it's kind of obvious. Well, obviously the assist numbers won't be high when you're attacking mismatches because it's a lot of ISO ball. So that's why you see some of those pull-ups. But we've been talking about how easy it is to just blow by these guys, get them up in the post and all that. And they just didn't really take advantage of that. Like, I'm okay with the three-point attempts. They were 31-7 when they attempted 53s this year. Like, the three-point attempts is fine. The quantity is fine. It's the quality. When you're taking 30 of them, the ball's not really moving around. I mean, they've had two games this postseason when they've had 20 assists. They need to get the ball moving up. Like, that's when they're at their best, when the ball is hopping around. And, of course, they have two wins by double digits this postseason. Both of those were the 20-assist games.
What about the defense from the Celtics against the Knicks? Anything there?
I think that was actually the bigger problem in the second half. Like, guys were just over-helping. There was some breakdowns. Like, there was one in the third quarter where Jaylen Brown was just completely out of the play. OG Anunoby comes up and hits a three. And another thing we talked about this week is not letting the other guys beat you. All in all, until the fourth quarter, they did a great job with Jalen Brunson. Same thing with Karl Anthony Towns. It's when you have OG Anunoby going for 30 points, right, and Mikal Bridges making those different big plays, those difference makers. That's a big deal, and that's where the Celtics lost that game. All in all, they did a good job on Brunson and Towns. Like, you'll take those performances against them, but you can't be falling asleep on those other guys and letting them punish you. That's where the Celtics got into trouble.
You want to talk Celtics? You got questions for Terp? 617-779-7937. We do it every Wednesday at high noon. Pure Hoops, talking Celtics here, so you can jump in with all your questions for Terp. I think the Celtics are ripe for an upset. And I started the show saying this, Terp. I look at the matchup, and I think the Celtics are going to win this series. I had it in six going in. That still feels about right to me. So I'm not picking the Knicks by any means. But if you just take a step back and you take the particulars out of it for a moment, I would say the Celtics are acting like a team whose crap doesn't stink. Their coach is more worried about getting into it with the media than he is about any adjustments in game two. Tatum was getting yelled at by Mazzulla earlier in the postseason. Miserable game one. Outside of the second half of game five, I don't know how many stretches they've played up to their potential in this postseason. They just feel like a team that has not impressed, despite only dropping two games to this point. Are they ripe for getting picked off at some point, perhaps as early as this series against New York?
I mean, if you look at their losses, their two postseason losses this season, it's hard to think that way. I mean, the first one against Orlando, they scored 11 points in the third quarter and 34 points in the second half and only lost by two points. It was a one-possession game. Game one against New York, they missed 45 three-point attempts, got nothing from Kristaps Porzingis. Jason Tatum went like a quarter and a half without scoring, and they couldn't make really any shots, and they still only lost by two in overtime. So it's hard to really think that way. I get it, like how they're coming out now and kind of talking. Like, I understand why you might think that, but look at their losses. Like, it's been extremes, the games they've lost. So I think they have the reason to be confident.
But do you think they're playing well? Like, I just haven't, outside of, again, the second half where threes were falling of game five against Orlando, I don't think they played well.
No, I'd agree. I don't think we've seen the best version of this team whatsoever. I mean, Orlando, we talked about it. That was a tough matchup for them, but they did not play a good game against New York at all, and they were still able to hang around. So I think at times, like, you're right, the talent itself has just been carrying them, because we really haven't seen them put together a full game. I mean, even game one against Orlando, that game they were losing at the half, and in the game five against Orlando too, when they pulled away and had a double-digit win, that was close until the third quarter. So no, we haven't really seen them dominate from start to finish yet.
Well, it's funny, because not to let them off the hook for that, but I mean, Cleveland's down 0-2, and I know they have injuries. The Thunder are down 0-1, and they also, besides that one crazy blowout win they had in game one, I don't know if they've played their best, but they at least do have that one game they can hang in their hat on.
In round two, a higher seed has yet to win a game.
Correct. Yeah, it's pretty wild. As for Kristaps Porzingis, we see him leave the game. Non-COVID illness, as we find out later. He's now probable for tonight. He missed a bunch of games for some unknown real reasons.
I think it was eight games, yeah.
It was an eight-game stretch. Any more info on what's going on with Porzingis?
Seems to just be an illness. I thought he was going to play in the second half the other night. He came out at halftime, was skipping around, was in the shot lines, warming up, looked like he was going to go, and then that was it. He didn't come back out. But they're going to need more from him. I mean, we talked about this, too, going into the series, that this was a good opportunity for Porzingis to bounce back. And he wasn't himself in the first half that he played in game one against New York either. He was 0-4, didn't attempt a three-point shot. And now, you look at his averages, I mean, they kind of just tell the story. He's averaging 10 points. He's shooting 32% from the field. Like, 32% from the field is tough to do.
That's this playoff, or
this
that's
is this
Celtics
playoff?
Career?
This is, and those numbers aren't much better either.
Wow.
Rebounds, 5.5, one assist. Like, his numbers just aren't good enough. They're going to need him. We talked about it. They're going to need him to really go back-to-back and to win this thing, and he just hasn't been good enough.
Do you, even if he's available tonight, do you think he starts? Is there a way to, like, ease him in because he didn't finish game one? You could start Horford. Like, do you think, even if he's available tonight, he's in the starting lineup?
I do think he'll start. I think that will be the case. I don't see them changing that. But, I mean, if this continues, you have to look at it as, like, maybe he would be better off coming off the bench. I mean, we had that conversation. That was really hot topic earlier in the season.
Because last year he came off the bench.
In game one. It was the best playoff game.
Yeah, it was the best game.
Yeah, I mean, when he had that big game one run against Dallas. Right. If you look at Al Horford, like, he's been terrific on both ends of the floor. Defensively, it's going to be overlooked, but what he did in the fourth quarter and overtime in game one against New York was fantastic. His switchability against Orlando was great. The opponents are shooting like 34% against him this postseason. Yeah. So, yeah, Al's been great. You're going to want him on the floor for both ways. And at this point right now, Porzingis has been like a negative player on the floor. So maybe he could benefit from that kind of change, but I think the Celtics, I don't think they're going to make that move going into tonight.
Lost in the loss was Drew Holiday, not only back, but was their best player.
He was great.
Like, he was the best player they had on the floor.
What, five offensive rebounds, was just making play after play. It was funny because when we were watching it, I was like, Al Horford and Drew Holiday have been the story, like the older statesmen here, really carrying them down the stretch, and unfortunately they lost, so those will be forgotten.
Let's mix in some calls with Terp. High noon every Wednesday, Pure Hoops, 617-779-7937. Matt is in Brighton. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I wanted to ask a question of you. What is the worst defeat in an NBA playoff history?
The worst defeat? The Lakers in Game 6 in 2008. I don't know.
Like the margin of victory?
Yeah, well, guess what? We're going to set the bar a little high tonight because the Celtics are going to demolish the Knicks tonight.
Okay.
So I think, did the Thunder actually set the record? Or at one point they had the biggest lead, I think, ever in Game 1 against the Grizzlies.
Yeah, they were up like 50.
They had some insane.
No, it was up there last year. It was Game 4 Celtics-Mavericks, the game they lost. Was up there, and nobody will ever talk about it because it's obviously forgotten because they won the finals.
Largest margin of victory.
I remember
Nuggets.
They lost that game. They got smoked that bad.
Yeah, that was it. Was the biggest margin of loss in an NBA Finals game.
Huh.
2009, the Denver Nuggets defeated the New Orleans Hornets 121-63.
Oh, I don't know if they'll break that.
I don't know if they'll get that. Yeah. And then the Lakers in 1956 also had a game. So 58 points is the biggest.
Matt says lay the 60.
Who's gonna win it? The Celtics. Because there's no other reason why. The Celtics are the ball.
Fair.
Do you think, and we're all guilty of this.
Carmelo had 26 in that game.
Disrespecting the Knicks to a degree, right? Like, they're soft, they're finesse, they're just a head and shoulders a better offensive team than Orlando. They're a worse defensive team, and, you know, they're not as tough or physical. But do you think we all kind of overlooked, because we looked at it as the Pistons gagging away round one, do you think we all kind of overlooked the Knicks' ability to pull out some of these games late?
For sure, but they kind of earned it. They were 0-10 this year against Boston, Cleveland, and Oklahoma City. And like you said, they probably should have lost that series against Detroit. So I think they've earned that, but you've seen, like, they're a good team down the stretch, mainly because of Jalen Brunson, obviously won the Clutch Player of the Year award. So they're a good team. They have two All-NBA players in Karl-Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson. And every time we talk about those guys, it's kind of in a negative light because of their defensive liabilities and how the Celtics punish them. But we've shown, like, they've shown they can win them games.
Do you think they go back to the hack of Mitchell Robinson strategy tonight?
Yeah, what do you think about that?
I kind of liked it. You know what? I felt bad for him a little bit, though, when Tibbs is telling him, like, intentionally follow Drew Holiday so we can get you off the floor so they can stop intentionally following you. Like, that is embarrassing. That's
brutal.
Burn
a foul on you so they stop following
you. We're going to get you out of the game, so intentionally follow him.
What do you like about that?
I mean, that's a good way, I think, when you're playing with the lead to just, like, you know he's not going to make them. Like, if it's going to work.
Well,
like,
I would do it the other way. I would do it when you're behind and you need to steal possessions and get back into a game or the end of a quarter.
I mean, the way
something.
They look at it, though, it's every possession.
But I feel like it interrupts your flow of the game.
Yeah.
And the Celtics have such a good, like, when they're going, like, their offense is fun to watch.
But
everybody didn't
have a flow. Like, they were missing all their shots in the first half.
No,
so,
that's true.
Like, what, you're already playing at a slow pace. Might as well.
But then it's also like, hey, let's get Mitchell Robinson off the floor, too. And you're like, okay.
He did burn a couple fouls there.
Yeah,
that was the thing too. True.
For sure. And I just, you can't beat the Knicks straight up? Like, why do you got to resort to gimmicks? Oh, that's a good point by the Twitch chat, Dark and Stormy Nights. That's not pure hoops, Terp. That's true.
That is not pure hoops.
Certainly not ethical hoops.
Hack of Mitchell Robinson is not,
that's not
pure hoops. I think it's decidedly not. Tim is in Springfield. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, my only concern is analytics and momentum. It just seems that they don't switch gears. If, you know, they're just going to keep trying to knock three-pointers down, and I don't know if there's a game plan to say, hey, this isn't working. We need to shift gears here. And as the series go on, let's say they go to the next round, someone's just going to figure it out. These guys are just going to keep throwing threes. So we're just going to keep coming up and hammering them, and let's see what happens.
Okay. What's the over-under on threes tonight? We set it at 60 earlier, Terp.
Put it at 50. We'll put it at 50. I think it'll be down. I think it will be down because they will have a more
50 for them is like
concentrated effort getting
gun shy. Yeah,
but it also could be one of those things where if they end up blowing them out, you kind of milk the clock a little bit in the fourth quarter. You have like your scrubs are in.
They blew them out in the season opener. They shot
61. True, and those guys still. I mean, if Peyton Pritchard's still out,
but
there,
how many
he's
did they take in the
away.
Fourth quarter there? Because they were purposely
they were going
for the record
the NBA
there,
record, yeah.
And they missed like. All of them in the final 7 minutes because there's no reason they shouldn't have broke it. They were missing wide open shots, kind of similar to game one.
True. Yeah, I think it's the over. I think they're going to take a ton. I think they're going to make way more than 15.
Yeah,
so
I'll take the over.
Shooting.
I'll take the over on 50 for sure.
Yeah.
I think I'd take the over on 60.
New York maybe. does deserve credit though for the way they stopped Boston from driving. Like when even the Celtics driving later in the game, a lot of their turnovers came on their drives. Their wings did a really good job of being physical and cutting off those lanes.
Look, I do feel this way. I mean, we spent a lot of time talking about Brunson and Towns, and those are really bad matchups for New York. Like
the
Celtics can exploit those.
Other guys can defend.
Anunoby and Hart.
Yeah,
and I was mildly impressed with Bridges. We dumped on him a lot going in. Like, those other two, though, those guys are stout defenders. Those guys are, I mean, they would fit in on Orlando last round. So I think we probably overlooked those guys to a degree. They took away some of that from the Celtics for sure in game one. Is tonight, our good friend Kendrick Perkins said this yesterday, is tonight a must-win for the Celtics turn?
It's about as big of a must-win that this iteration of the Celtics have seen. Obviously, they haven't been behind in the series since 2023. So I don't know if it's necessarily a must-win because, again, there is such disparity between these two teams.
It's not a must-win.
But it's a big
but I like
for
the biggest
these guys.
Game. Spinning it on that way. Is it the biggest game that this group has played?
Is it the biggest
that
game?
That the Porzingis and Holiday
right, no,
Celtics.
These 2 years.
Obviously, the year before, they played
right,
some
right.
Ones.
No,
they
you did. Said it. This iteration, maybe.
The last 2 years, probably. They've never been down in a series.
You get nervous. I forgot how badly they got whooped in game four of the NBA Finals. You get nervous at all when they were up 3-0 and got smoked going into that game five coming back to the Garden?
No.
When
they were up 3-0?
No, after they lost game four. I felt like that game...
No.
I felt like that game five closing out the NBA Finals was important for them.
No, I wasn't.
You think this is more important than that? I think that's more important.
You still had a 3-1 lead.
Yeah, but I was nervous about that group closing, to be honest. I was still nervous.
Kyrie
really?
In their head. Well, they hadn't done it yet.
Yeah, they hadn't.
After the way they closed against Indy, though?
Closed against Indy. It was a sweep.
Yeah, and they were very close to being down 3-1 in that
Indy
series.
Played them close.
That was the toughest series they played.
Okay, sweep, but
they closed every game in that series.
No, they closed some games. No, I don't disagree. They closed some games, but when they were up 3-0, they didn't blow a lead.
You really thought they were going to become, that team was going to become the first team in NBA history to blow a 3-0 lead?
I think closing out the NBA Finals was a bigger game than this one. Yes.
No.
Yes.
I mean, no. I guess in the grand scheme, like it's the NBA Finals, but like there was no concern that they were going to lose that series.
You're losing two home games and being down 0-2 to the Knicks versus being down 3-2, I guess in that case, to the Mavericks.
Yeah, and going back to Dallas, I didn't want that.
Would you be more nervous if they were down 3-2 to Dallas or down 2-0 to New York?
I'm saying I just answered that 3-2. Yeah, I'd be more nervous 3-2 to Dallas dropping those last two. Yeah,
yeah, that might be more respect to Kyrie and Luka. Than it is to these guys.
I mean, I don't think this is a must win at all. I think if they go down 0-2, they can go to New York and win the next two.
I'm with you. Again, I picked a sweep, so they can win 4 or 5, yes.
They should.
Hmm. What do you think of the other series?
That Pacers team, we were talking about them
all year.
They're a good team.
They are.
And they gave a lot of teams trouble. They were down 0-2 last year to
playoff
New York.
Playoff Nembhard.
Yeah, playoff Nembhard. Halliburton's been great. He's really leaning into that overrated thing.
Seriously.
Like 12 players rated like voted him most overrated.
Shaq came out and was like, he's not overrated, right? On the TNT, they were talking about it. He's like, guys, he's not overrated.
That team's good.
Properly rated.
I don't think Cleveland can use the excuse that they didn't have any of their guys because they led by 20 and had a 7-point lead with under 53
if
seconds.
If they lose the series, they'll point to that, but you're right. In that game, they should have won the game.
Yeah, I mean, in the series. And they missed Garland tremendously in game one. But you also had a 20-point lead and a 7-point lead, and then you allowed two offensive rebounds.
Yeah, that's
rough. Threw the ball away on an inbounds. Like, that can't happen. You mean to tell me out of all the guys on the roster, nobody can inbound the basketball?
Yeah,
like, that's a little ridiculous.
That's bad.
Curry's injury? How concerning is that?
I mean, it's, we were just talking about it with Drew Holiday, right? Like an older 34-year-old who was dealing with something. Now Curry's a little bit older than Drew Holiday, dealing with the hamstring, and obviously they're going to need him. I don't think Minnesota matches up well against Golden State anyway, and they have other guys that I think Golden State could get through that series without him. But if they want to challenge either Denver or Oklahoma City, they're definitely going to need Steph Curry.
Yeah. I would say so.
Okay. That is Pure Hoops with Terp. High noon every Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe. You got full coverage tonight, game two?
Yes, sir.
What can we expect? We got stand-ups with Mego. We got all the social media videos and everything out there.
All of it, yeah.
Write-ups. Terp stays up until like 5 in the morning. He's up all night.
Seriously.
He's up grinding away.
Uh-huh. For the love of hoops.
Make
That's
sure.
It. That is the
most man,
pure.
The man loves the purest of pure hoops. And hacking Mitchell Robinson.
Yep.
So you can follow him on social media at Justin M. Turpin for all your Celtics coverage there. Turp, we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
All right, guys.
Thanks, right. sir.
That's Pure Hoops with Turp. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending. We have an emergency Kiefer Madness at 12:45. And let's get back into the Celtics game two tonight. Is it a must win? Perk rather thinks so. And are the Celtics ripe for an upset? We'll get to that right after trending.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. The Red Sox have now dropped 3 in a row after last night's 6-1 loss to the Texas Rangers at Fenway Park. Lucas Giolito got the loss after giving up 6 runs on 10 hits in 3 and 2/3 innings. Red Sox-Rangers series continues tonight. First pitch is at 6:45. You can hear the call of the game with Will Fleming and Letty Donato right here on 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Mike at WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Tanner Houck gets the start for the Sox against the Rangers' Tyler Malley. Don't forget to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show at Christian Arcan beginning at 5:45. Drew Holiday has been named the winner of the 2024-2025 Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Social Justice Champion Award. Tonight, the Boston Celtics look to even up their series with the New York Knicks at the TD Garden. Kristaps Porzingis is listed as probable with an illness, while Sam Hauser is doubtful with an ankle injury. Game 2 tips off at 7 o'clock. After Knicks-Celtics, it's Game 1 between the Denver Nuggets and the Oklahoma City Thunder. In NBA playoff action last night, the Pacers took a 2-0 series lead on the Cavaliers with Indiana's 121-19 win, and the Warriors went up 1-0 on the Timberwolves, beating Minnesota 99-88. In the NHL playoffs last night, the Hurricanes took Game 1 on the Capitals, defeating Washington 2-1, and the Oilers went up 1-0 on the Golden Knights with their 4-2 win. Tonight is Game 2 between the Panthers and the Maple Leafs. Toronto leads that series 1-0, and it's Game 1 in the Stars-Jets series. According to multiple sources, the Dallas Cowboys have acquired wide receiver George Pickens and a 2027 sixth-round pick from the Pittsburgh Steelers for a 2026 third-round pick and a 2027 fifth-round pick. And tonight, the New England Revolution will be in Pawtucket taking on Rhode Island FC in a round of 32 matchup in the U.S. Open Cup. Kickoff is at 7:30. Celebrate Mother's Day at the 99 Restaurant and treat your mom to delicious new menu specials made especially for her, like herb garlic filet mignon, lemon caper swordfish, or their famous colossal or hot buttered lobster rolls. You gotta love the nines. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
The Knicks shot, I think, over 50% from three in the second half there. What's the balance for you guys of, you know, wanting to help versus staying home on those shooters, and like how much freedom do you give your players on that front?
Were they shooting from three in the second half?
I think over 50%.
So they made them.
Yes.
Man, what a novel idea.
But there's a lot of those where they're...
That's a novel concept, huh?
Right.
Just make them when you're open. Yeah.
Would you like to answer the question though?
I just did. Make them. I mean,
I'm asking about your defense.
And I'm not. I think I'm really just talking to you. I think it's such a cool duality of your question to where I'm getting asked all the ones that we missed, and you come in and start with they shot 50% in the second half, and I'm like, oh man, what? The duality of that question is just really cool to like talk about. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I don't know. So sorry.
Thanks.
We start the press conference off by saying, you know, you took all these and you missed them. And then you say, they shot 50% in the second half from three. Yeah, you got to make them.
This is your request earlier?
Yeah, duality.
By whom?
Slipknot.
Sorry, I should have.
These guys go hard.
Should have known that. Yeah, it's excellent.
I don't know how much longer of the song you can play, but they go hard. Yeah.
You're like,
that's
clean. It's fine.
Get out. Is that what? Okay.
Pull the record.
Clean. Yeah. But that's just Joe Mazzulla being unnecessarily difficult with our guy B-Rob.
I was going to say, get him, B-Rob.
He like didn't
get
even,
him.
But he didn't answer the question. So B-Rob was like, how about try answering the question?
Yeah, and he's
like,
answer it there?
And he's like, no, I just think it's hilarious that we start the press conference talking about us missing threes, and then you're asking about them making threes. And he's like, no, I'm asking about your defense, which you have still avoided. You're now on a filibuster to try to make me look silly, which isn't working. You look worse.
Joe Mazzulla thinks defense doesn't matter.
No, it's a make-miss league.
He's just like,
simple as that.
They made their shots. We missed our shots. Defense has nothing to do with
it. So are you good with everybody helping off? Or were you satisfied with your defense? He's like, you guys started the press conference with us missing threes. Right. We've now moved on. We're now asking about this.
The duality.
It's the duality of man.
It's just high comedy. The duality of man, exactly.
And he's like, this is the duality of the question. I was like, sure.
Yeah.
Like, I guess. Okay, fine.
But also, like, I don't know, other reporters were asking about that. B-Rob's asking about this.
Right.
It wasn't
different
the same
things.
Reporter.
No.
That would be that might be comical.
No.
We're sitting here, we're interviewing Alex Van Pelt or whomever, Christian Gonzalez, very verbose.
Right.
And we ask like one thing and then contradict it the next question.
Yeah.
I would get it. One reporter asked something in a press conference, a completely different reporter asked something completely different.
That's an odd question.
Like it just seems strange to me.
Yeah, no, it is. What a novel concept to make shots.
That
to
is.
Which you pointed out is a shot at his team.
Well, I would take
sure.
I'm fine. Tatum,
yeah.
If I'm Jaylen, Derek White, whoever, I would be annoyed at that comment. Like, oh, so we lost the game, we just gotta make shots.
Yeah.
It's so easy, Joe.
Sure.
Let's just mix in a couple of makes.
You guys make shots, we win.
Like that would piss me off if I were a player. I don't know that they're taking it that way. I'm just saying for me, that would annoy me. My coach is just like, oh, why'd we lose the game? Just those guys couldn't figure out how to make a shot. Just make a shot next time, we'll win all the games.
Yeah,
you think it's that easy, Joe?
It like undermines everything. It undermines
everything.
Your players, but it also undermines like your team defense. Like, so are you guys good at defense, or you just play teams that miss shots that night? Right, like, shouldn't you play a part in whether or not they hit a high percentage or not? Like, especially over the course of a season, I feel like teams that are good at opponents' three-point percentage probably defend the three well. Then teams that don't, like, over the course of so many games, like, okay, that's a team that doesn't really defend the three. Because there's sort of a, you know, there's an NBA average for players. You're going to find guys like Steph Curry, then you're going to find guys to all the other extreme of it, too. But over the course of the night, I think what he was trying to ask was specifically about how they were helping off on guys and then leaving guys wide open like OG Anunoby to drill these big shots. Like, are you good with that? But instead you're like, well, no, they made them. What a novel concept. Like,
what a novel concept. Oh, wow. Thanks. I just find that hilarious. They made them.
Thanks,
we missed
Joe.
Them. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if it's as simple as that, what do you do? Uh-huh. Like, what do you bring to the table? if it's as simple as that. I mean, apparently Joe thinks threes in the NBA are independent of defense, and coaches do nothing. They do nothing.
Yeah.
Listening to that answer.
No.
What would you say you do here?
I mean, you sit back and watch these guys take threes. Make or miss threes.
He thinks he doesn't do anything based on that answer.
Yeah.
Real quick, we might need to listen to B-Rob again. We got this text earlier when we played that clip, and we're getting it again. The media needs to have a better attitude when asking questions and change his tone. Okay.
Oh, it's a tone question? So I've been accused of having bad tone.
B-Rob had the tone or Missoula had the tone?
Missoula's the king of tone.
Let's listen. Let's listen again. Let's just hear that again. Maybe I missed some tone from our guy B-Rob. Let's hear it.
Nick shot, I think, over 50% from three in the second half there. What's the balance for you guys of, you know, wanting to help versus staying home on those shooters and, like, how much freedom do you give your players on that front?
Yeah, you know what? I'm with the text
line. Gotcha media?
Yeah,
what are you trying to do?
What an a-hole.
He's just doing that for the clicks.
Yeah, B-Rob, just for the clicks.
Man,
that's all it is.
Trying to bait him into something there.
I mean, now that I've re-listened to it.
That was aggressive.
That's on
B-Rob.
Were
they shooting from three in the second half?
I think over 50%.
So they made him.
I mean, who has
the tone? I'm close.
Who has the tone there?
It's not even up for debate. Joe's doing that thing again.
Whoa, B-Rob, calm down.
Yeah.
What'd you have, a couple C4s before that interview? Like, chill out a little bit.
Trying to sizzle them there.
My goodness. Gotcha media, and it's worse, Keith.
Put Joe
under
the lights.
Seriously, calm down, B-Rob.
Yeah, no, he was out of line.
Take a chill pill. Out of pocket.
He might get his credentials revoked.
Okay. So I just, the whole attitude after the game is annoying. You know, Missoula, maybe there were 5 or 10 shots. Missoula, the Knicks made them. We missed them. Even Derek White, I heard Derek White, who's very, you know, benign, but the way he talked about it. I think Tatum and Brown, to their credit, actually both said the Celtics settled too much after game one. Brown definitely said it. I think Tatum even echoed some of that. Derek White, I listened to him in between games yesterday, and he's like, yeah, I mean, maybe there's a shot or two we could have taken differently, but they were open shots. It's like their whole
attitude. They're just so ingrained, though. They've been playing like this for multiple seasons now.
I hate it. And it's like if they were playing well and they were blowing teams out and they were winning all these games going away, then I would say, wow, okay, I get it. We're all overreacting to one game. They have not played well.
No.
Outside of the second half of game five, I don't think they played well.
Moments.
I don't think they played well the whole postseason.
No, they kind of haven't.
Not up to their standards, I don't think they have. So it's just, I feel like there's a little whistling past the graveyard with their issues. And as I said earlier, if I didn't know any better, this to me would sound like a team that's ripe for an upset. The way they're talking and carrying themselves and playing. Underachieving against Orlando, losing game one to New York when a lot of people expected a sweep.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't know any better, I'd say they're ripe for an upset.
Yeah, it's just a matter of will there be an opponent that can take it from them, right? Because even if the Celtics are trying to give a game here or there or maybe even potentially give a series, obviously the Magic weren't going to be able to do it. The Magic got a game, they took a game. The Knicks got one. How many more will they get? And then if you go to the next round, if you want to even skip ahead to the next round, you have either the Indiana Pacers or what looks like a really banged up Cavs team.
Yeah.
So there might be a level of, man, you're going to have to really play down. You're going to have multiple games in a series where you miss 43s. I mean, tune in to find out, right? Like, we'll see if that happens. I don't think it will. Like, I think even as stubborn as Missoula is being, even as stubborn as some of the players are being, if they shoot 63s tonight, I bet they make 25 of them and whatever.
When I say an upset, I'm talking like, I'm not talking tonight. The Celtics are going to destroy them tonight.
And like the Knicks, this is sort of a different, this is apples to oranges, but the Knicks and the Pistons, like the Pistons actually outplayed the Knicks for large stretches of that entire series, but then just gave it in the game at the end, and the Knicks were there to take it. So the question would then be for the Knicks, all right, can they just take it from the Celtics, or is there too much of a talent gap?
Yeah, the Knicks have to take it. I think to a degree they did in game one, but the Celtics are also willing to give it away sometimes. And we've seen that. They didn't do it last year. They didn't give anything away last year.
Mm.
But they also were facing the Heat without Jimmy Butler. They were facing the Cavs without Donovan Mitchell and the Pacers without Tyrese Halliburton, who, if you're watching last night, kind of makes a difference in some of these games.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty good.
I mean, they weren't exposed. They didn't give series away last year when they were playing injured teams. Is that going to come up this year? The Knicks are healthy. You know, they might not be a great matchup for or with the Celtics, but they're healthy. And they're a team that's been able to pull out some of these games late against Detroit and again in game one against the Celtics. We said this earlier, Keith, neither of us think this is a must win.
I don't. I don't, because I think if you're saying it's a must win.
But if they're down 0-2, it's not a must win. I think they could easily go to New York and win 2. But if they're down 0-2, I would start to freak out. So I wouldn't blame anyone for that.
On the freakout scale?
Yeah.
On 1 to 100 on the freakout scale.
1 to 100 on the freakout scale.
I'd still be like a 49.
Oh, I'd be much higher than that.
No.
I mean, I would say they can't. The series isn't over.
No.
But am I freaking out? Yeah, no. They're down 0-2. 89.
You're an 89 on the freakout scale? You would be very high on the freakout scale.
Yeah, that's a retired Patriots number, as we discovered yesterday. I'd be an 89 on the freakout scale.
It's a retired Patriots number?
Yeah.
What?
Who was it? Bob D. Who was it? Who was the retired number?
Bobby
89
D.
for the Pats? We looked this up the other day.
I wasn't in on this conversation.
Oh,
were you
not there?
Doug Armstrong?
Oh, No. Bruce Armstrong.
Bruce Armstrong was 78, I believe.
Doug Armstrong is a...
I don't even know.
NHL GM? It's Doug Armstrong, an NHL GM.
Daryl Armstrong? The Orlando Magic?
Lance?
BJ?
Oh, BJ Armstrong. Could have been.
BJ Raji.
Wait, who has a retired... Bob D. Thank you.
Bob D.
Bob D, the retired 89.
I'm not talking about any of that.
I'd be a Bob D on the freakout scale.
No, I would be like, man, my pick was really wrong, but I would still think they're going to beat them. Now, we also, looking at how the Cavs lost game two to the Pacers, there's also different ways of being down 0-2, right? Like, did you have both games won, and then just let it slip away?
You lose it at the buzzer like last night where you gag it away.
That's kind of worse.
You'd be a little higher on the freakout scale?
A little bit higher,
okay,
yeah.
You're a generic 40-something? What was
40,
it?
Not generic, 49 on the nose.
49, yeah, thank you. No, I'm saying generically just saying they're down 0-2, but like a specific way they lost, like the Cavs you'd be higher.
You fumble it away, then you get your heart ripped out, and Brunson hits a big shot. He is, after all, the NBA player, Clutch Player of the Year. Presented by Kia.
Yeah, don't leave that part out.
And so if he hits a big shot like that at home, like,
the gerbils voted on that. Yeah. And they came back said,
I saw Blake Griffin jump over a Kia once.
He's the most clutch player in
the hood. Not the whole Kia.
Well, no, not the whole thing. Even Mac McClung couldn't do that. Just over the hood.
Mac McClung could do a lot, though.
Could he actually did
Mac McClung did.
He did jump over the whole thing.
I think he could fly Mac McClung. Which is unfair for a dunk contest, but why he's the best.
Yeah, no, he's quite good. He's better at it than Jalen, I can tell you that. 617.
Stretch Armstrong, good one from the chat. Oh,
that was an Armstrong oversight. You're right.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Mount Rushmore of Armstrongs?
You always beat me to it. I would go Stretch, Lance, even though he's disgraced, BJ, and Bruce.
You're sleeping on Louis.
I am.
Louis fast Armstrong. Asleep. It's an all-time great Armstrong.
Fifth. Put the fifth one on the Rushmore.
Who'd you have? BJ?
BJ
Armstrong?
Lance.
Yeah.
Stretch. No, and Bruce.
Oh, you did have Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce on Armstrong on there.
Okay, good. It's a Patriots Hall of Famer. That's another, retired number for the Pats. Yeah.
As it should be.
Yeah. No, I will.
You know what number's not retired? Devin McCourty's 32 because Travion Henderson's going to wear it.
I did see that. Yeah. But it's a slow number.
Did you hear that Abdul Carter asked Lawrence Taylor to wear his number 56?
So, I know we're going full circle on this. This is how the retired number conversation
got
came up.
I must not have been in the room for this.
He asked Lawrence
Taylor. You guys
talking
about retired numbers behind my back? How'd this happen?
You're not supposed to do that when I'm not there. You guys know I love retired number talk. Damn it. You guys know I love uniform retired number talk.
I do.
No. So Abdul Carter wanted to wear 56 from Lawrence Taylor, and then his backup plan was 11 from Phil Sims. He only wants retired numbers from the Giants.
They're like, all right, Abdul, here are the list of numbers you can wear.
Yeah, these are your numbers.
There's like 80 numbers you can have.
There are so many.
Seven.
What if I asked LT or Phil Sims? No, don't ask those guys anything. Leave them alone. Wear a different number.
What's Tiki Barber up to?
In honor of Lawrence Taylor, I'm going to wear your number. It's like, it's retired.
You have Jason Sehorn's number.
Leave it alone. Sehorn's number should be retired.
You think?
It should be. Although Cooper DeJean has come over and said, listen, changing the game.
Yeah.
White corners are back.
Well.
They have like a 25-year hiatus. But they're back.
I'm bringing it back.
Yeah.
You gotta be careful with that.
There was none after Sehorn.
Yeah. Well.
There wasn't.
There wasn't one?
I mean, if you count Edelman like masquerading as a cornerback, there were no white corners after Sehorn.
Mm.
Like the Dodo Bird.
I just be careful being too loud about that one, Cooper DeJean. But you know, that's me,
Cooper DeJean.
Yeah, I wouldn't trumpet that too much.
All right.
But that's me. So there you go. A variety of topics covered there.
Sure,
including your Armstrong, Mount Rushmore.
Oh, wait till you hear this story coming up.
Oh,
in the madness.
Right. Yeah. We'll get into an emergency, and I think a very, very worthy emergency. Kiefer Madness. You're not going to want to miss it. It's next.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app. It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How are you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
To be able to poop on a car like that was impressive, but it was disgusting at the same sense.
The 44-year-old sits on the hood, or not showing the most graphic part of the video, including when she appeared to defecate on the car.
A Delaware County woman is facing multiple charges after she is seen defecating on a car hood.
All right, it's time for an emergency Kiefer Madness here on Jones and Keefe WEEI. That was yesterday's madness where the Delco pooper, a road rage incident, turned real nasty, Jones.
Delco dumper.
Yeah, that's what we're calling it.
Yeah,
it's on the internet as the Delco pooper, which I feel like is a miss.
It's already.
Most people feel like it's a miss.
It's gone too big. But so I didn't think we'd be able to top yesterday's Kiefer Madness, and yet we're back with an emergency madness today, Keefe.
Here we are. So, listener Dice actually DM'd me this video, and it's not the news story we're about to play, but it's a video of an incident. And I was like, hey, guys, I think I have one. And before I can even explain it, Billy Lady's like, oh, is it? And I was like, no, yep, it's that one.
Billy knew before you even said the full story. Billy's like, is it this?
It is.
Oh, it is.
It is. And then we were able to locate a news story. So this one, we go to the state of Ohio. Good old Ohio for this story where, this really could take place, I suppose, anywhere. But
any town, USA.
Right.
I don't know about that.
No, maybe not any town, but at least this town.
Time now for Wait What? Danny New is here as we start with Cocaine Bear's long-lost cousin.
Okay, Cocaine Bear's long-lost cousin. So this is the movie that I saw based loosely off of a true story where there was a drug plane that had an issue. All of a sudden, a tremendous amount of cocaine went into the forest. One of the bears rolled around in it and, went crazy. I don't think he killed as many people as he did in the movie. The movie actually wasn't great. I was disappointed in the film.
Honestly, though, it wasn't as bad as I expected. I expected it to be bad, though.
Yeah, they did. I was surprised they didn't really fully pick a lane. I don't know if it was going to be funnier than it was or a little bit more aggressive.
I think real life Cocaine Bear went. Just ran around humping a bunch of stuff and it just keeled over.
Just like fell off a cliff. Yeah. You're like, all right. Okay. Burned real hot for a little while. Had like a heart attack. You're like, ah, poor bear. So we're going we're already walking down this road. So if Cocaine Bear is the long lost cousin of what? Give me a creature. Give me some sort of substance.
How about bath salts bear?
Bath salts bear. So you're keeping the same animal?
Well,
you don't want to change the animal?
It's a close cousin. It's bear.
Okay, true. So bath salts bear. That'd be more Florida story.
Good point.
I already gave away it's in
you
Ohio.
You did tell me it was Ohio. It's a good point.
All right, let's see what it is.
Start with Cocaine Bear's long-lost cousin, Meth Raccoon.
Meth Raccoon.
Meth Raccoon.
Meth Raccoon.
Okay.
I love a trash panda. I love a raccoon. Rocket Raccoon, one of my favorite characters from the MCU and Guardians of the Galaxy. They're cute. They look really cute. Now, they're always tipping over garbage cans and stuff, and I'm sure they're ripe with disease.
Well, so that must be how he got into the meth, right? Like,
you think he's into the meth?
Rummaging through a garbage can, probably, right? So meth in a garbage can, the raccoon must have gotten into it. That must have been what happened.
Not so fast, my friend.
Wait, what?
All right, we take you to Ohio, where Springfield Township Officer Austin Branham encountered something unusual during a traffic stop.
It's a pet raccoon named Chewy, which is already interesting.
Aw.
Pet raccoon named Chewy.
I guess I missed that. I just heard his name was Chewy. But yeah, it is
Chewy.
It's someone's pet.
Yeah, pet raccoon, which I feel like is not a normal thing. Now, not to go down this road, we've done raccoon stories before. Billy usually gets sidetracked at this point and starts watching raccoon videos eating grapes.
That literally happened this morning.
Yeah. They love grapes. And you don't want to take their grapes.
More than you would think. Yeah, no, they're very defensive.
Yeah. Dark and Stormy Nights wants to know 100 raccoons or one man who wins that fight.
That's
a lot of raccoons.
Yeah, the rabies will take you out in no time.
Well, time. in some time. It wouldn't be immediate, the rabies.
They'd get you.
Yeah. They'd get you.
Sitting in the car of the woman he just pulled over, but then Officer Branham thought of Chewy. I guess you can kind of see it. Had a meth pipe.
So he pulls over this woman, and I saw the surveillance video. The guy, not surveillance, but like the...
body cam.
Body cam.
Yeah.
And he pulls her over. She's like confused, like why she's pulled over. She has like a warrant out for her arrest. She has all these other charges. So she gets pulled out of the car, and then you look inside, and it's just like got so much trash and like fast food.
You want to make the raccoon comfortable. you put it in its habitat.
That's a good point.
He's having garbage.
She's driving the raccoon's car.
Yeah, right. I hadn't thought about that.
Raccoon's car. Yeah, you want him comfortable.
Sitting shotgun is a raccoon.
Yeah.
Also, two very old people get out of the car as well. Two people older than her. I don't know if they're her parents or just like friends of hers.
Her parents?
I think so.
Her parents and her pet raccoon?
All meth heads, sadly. Yeah. No, she was... The raccoon's in the front seat. Pet raccoon in the front seat. Grabbing it. And he's grabbing at a meth pipe.
Yeah.
In Chewy's mouth. And Chewy's owner was then arrested on drug charges.
More surprising is the car Chewy was found in, guys, was not a Ferrari.
Line?
Guys, you told me ahead of time I could come in at the end of the story with a joke and you were going to laugh. How come?
Chewy was found in, guys, was not a Ferrari.
That is maybe the most ridiculous story I've ever heard in my life.
Mesh raccoon?
Pet raccoon.
She just moves wrong from the joke.
She's like, it's so bad.
She's like, that's a crazy story. She's like, no, she's not even talking about that. She's like, that's just a crazy story.
It's a
just
wild
leaves
story.
Him alone altogether.
Yeah, so that raccoon, well, if you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, it is just, it looks like a garbage can inside that car.
It's pretty wild,
does not look like the raccoon's first time on the meth pipe.
No.
It's just a raccoon running loose in the store.
Raccoon, they're big too.
Yeah.
Trust me.
How in the world did a raccoon get...
It's crazy, but, you know, the garden center's open, so they're going to find their way in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They will.
That's definitely true.
Especially if they had a little meth. I'm on crack.
Yep. With most a meth Florida pipe. Story in Ohio.
Raccoons are already kind of scary. They really are.
They're very scary.
By the way, she also has...
They're not scary at all.
Well,
They're scary?
I wouldn't want to...
They're kind of adorable.
Well,
you think they're scary?
Eating grapes.
Yo, what's wrong with eating grapes?
Okay, well, that is adorable. If you
dogs can't have grapes. Don't give your dog grapes.
You confront one in your garbage can or something like that. I don't want that.
I'd be like, all right, you got this, buddy.
Easy big fella.
I wouldn't be worried about a raccoon.
Yeah, he's telling.
Raccoons are already kind of scary. They really are.
They're very scary.
By the way, she also had documentation that this was a pet raccoon. I didn't even get documentation.
Did the vet prescribe the meth?
I have.
Was it prescribed
more questions than answers.
Was it prescribed meth?
Yeah, I guess.
A lot of questions about what's going on that set. Everybody's asking different questions.
They're not on the same page.
No answers, all questions.
That's true. That is true.
It's enough to make a talking raccoon contemplate countermeasure.
Now, you were telling me, Keith, on the body cam footage.
Yeah.
The woman, when the cops saw that the raccoon was hitting the crack pipe, the meth pipe.
Yeah.
The woman was very worried that he was about to smoke it all. That raccoon's a little greedy on the meth pipe.
And then the super old lady tried to grab it. The cop's like, that's evidence. Like, you can't take that. And then at the end of it, he asked the other police officer there. He's like, keep an eye on this one. She's trying to grab the crack pipe. She's like, she goes, I don't want him to get it. That's what she said.
Yeah.
She's looking out
She's
for
like,
him.
He is real greedy with this meth. Don't let Chewy get in there.
Yeah.
He's going to smoke it all. Save some for the rest of us.
I agree.
I'm just going to tell him I can bring my coon dog up here and find it. Coon pull.
Okay. All right, sir. There you go.
It's not
the
a bad
emergency madness. What do you got?
Not a bad excuse. Mr. Dubs says, officer, it's not mine. It's the raccoons.
It's the raccoons, yeah.
You know, the raccoon's smoking it. Go ahead and prove I smoked it.
It's not mine. Well,
you can't prove that.
You probably could. One test away. Figure that out.
All right, that's an emergency madness. Kiefer Madness here on Jones and Keefe.
Meth raccoon.
The long lost cousin of Cocaine Bear. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. All your Celtics thoughts, game two tonight, along with, some Red Sox complaints. The Patriots, should they have been in on George Pickens, who is now a Dallas Cowboy? We'll get to all of it next.